Hallelujah. Are you on fire for God? Or are you as cold as a serpent? Oh, yes. What a time to be refreshed and not refleshed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Come on, speak it with me. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in what? In every good word and work. Wow. And every good word and work. You know, we are in such a time right now that we need to be stirred up. Amen? People need to be stirred up to get things moving. And we are responsible for stirring ourselves up, aren't we? Oh, yes, we are. Yes, we are. And in this, you and I have a responsibility in getting in God's presence. We have a responsibility. We are accountable. So many times people drift from being accountable. Accountability is vitally important. Vitally important. You know, right now we are in a time of, how can I say, great deception, or what I want to say is strong deception. Strong. It's no longer weak. The deception that is out there is strong. And many people are biting the bait. They're being easily swayed. The Bible talks about strong delusion, which is deep deception. Strong deception promotes strong delusion. People are destroyed for lack of eternal truth. Spiritual truths are not always eternal truths. Somebody got it. Oh, there's a lot of people talk about spiritual things, but they're not all eternal things. That's where you people go to mediums and they talk about spiritual things. People go into New Age, they talk about spiritual things, but they're not eternal things. And there's a big difference. That's a great, strong deception. People are going deeper into darkness. And how deep you go into darkness makes it harder to come out. Amen? It takes longer to come out. Now, the Holy Spirit is one who sanctifies. He's our mentor. That guides us, he protects us, he corrects us, he encourages us. He also convicts us. Why does he do that? So we can enter into eternal truths. Deception is blinding darkness. Truth is light seeing. Say it with me. Deception is blinding darkness. Truth is light seeing. So when a person is blind, it's because they're in deception. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is fear. That's why people can't cross over or understand where that influence comes. Think about this. Would a normal human being murder a child? No. Where did that influence come from? Demonic presence. A voice. See, so many people do not understand that all these voices they hear, they're not theirs. It's one speaker. So you might call it your voice. Amen? But the enemy uses that one speaker to speak to you. Why were we addicts? Who told us to use drugs? Think about that. I mean, there was an inside saying, no. We knew deep inside that things were wrong, but we did them anyways. Because we didn't have power over them. We didn't have control over it. Because we were living out of the soul, not of the mind, not out of the spirit. And many people don't know the difference that that veil, the other side is right there. You don't have to go to hell to get with demons. They're right here. They're all over the place. Who's the ruler of this earth? Satan. And his demons are foot soldiers. Now he uses individuals, these spirits, to invade bodies because they're looking for a body because they used to have one. Look at all the zombies now. I mean, there's been movies of zombies. Hello? Now they're here. Because this is chemical warfare used by the powers of darkness. That's a cursed thing that people are partaking of themselves in a demonic realm. Getting demon-possessed. And now they become zombies. It's no longer recreational drugs. It's biochemical warfare. If these people knew where that stuff came from, if they saw the stamps on the kilos and all the things, they're all satanic stamps, every one of them. Even the bales of marijuana, they're all stamped with satanic ritual. They were prayed over. Even the music. The music is brought into an occult cauldron area. And when that music is brought in, those witches pray over it for multiple days. And then those records and everything are sent out. And when they're sent out, people listen to it. And when people listen to it and agree with it, it goes into their soul. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. How you ought to what? Walk and please God. You can't do that in your own strength. There's no way you can do it. The only way you can do it is by the guidance of the Holy Spirit and empowerment of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible tells us that the letter kills and the Spirit brings life. I don't care if you memorize the Bible from cover to cover, it ain't going to prevent you from going to hell. You got a relationship. Amen? Because who you serve when you die is where you go. Think about it. Think about how many times we came close to death. And those demons were ready to take us right to hell. But somebody was praying for us. And the angels showed up and drove those demons away from us. And God gave us another opportunity, another chance to get right. Multiple times. I overdosed so many times, it was ridiculous. And I will forget when one time I saw two angels in the corner and they were talking to one another and they were looking at me going, look at what he's doing with his life. That freaked me out. Ruined my high. But it never left me. Why? And when I cried to God and I said, God, please take me home. He said, I can't. You die in this condition, you will go to hell. That woke me up. Then he said to me, you want to get off drugs and alcohol or do you want a new life? And I realized that I'll never quit the drugs and alcohol if I don't want a new life. I realized I had to give everything up to start over. Because see, nothing becomes new until it's dead. You can't bring the old life into the new one. God won't allow it. It's either the new life or nothing. Amen? That's why he said, for you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, your separation unto him. How many times have we made promises to God? Oh, God, just get me out of this. I'll never do it again. We lied. Amen? It's called an unfulfilled vow. We meant to. We were serious at that time, man. But when it really came afterwards, I'm better now. Thanks, God, for rescuing me. I'll just go back to doing the same old stuff again. Why? Because we didn't get rid of the old stuff. You know, we still had accursed items all around the place. We still had certain stash. And we still hung around with the same people, places, and things that were still promoting that old life. When God is saying, you haven't given up the old life yet. I can't give you a new one unless you give up the old one. Oh, hallelujah. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in separation or sanctification in an honor. Not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. See, this is why this is Holy Ghost boot camp, officers training school. God is raising up warriors, not wimps. Amen? That's what it's about. And many of us have gone through hell just to get to heaven. But thank God we got through. You may be going through something, but you're going to go through. Believe me, your life will live a constant challenge. Welcome to the earth. It's called As the World Burns. It's a soap opera. When you're coming out of one challenge, you're going into another. That's how life is. You'll have challenges every single day, but you can overcome. That's how you change. You know, a diamond doesn't become beautiful and clear until it's crushed because it's cold. New wine doesn't come from just nowhere. It's crushed grapes. Olive oil is crushed. God puts us on a potter wheel and crushes us to mold us and make us brand new. So no matter what you're going through, you're going to go through it. I don't care if you've been sick. I don't care if you've been run over by a truck. If you're alive, God's got a plan. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were what? Once what? Darkness. You were once darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. Don't pet them. Don't agree with them. Expose them and kick their butt. Get them out of there. In the name of Jesus. Amen? For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools or as idiots, but as wise, redeeming the time because of what? The days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submit to one another. In other words, respect one another. Amen? Respect one another. For you and I were once darkness. Why were we in darkness? By deception and delusion. We were enslaved in a false reality. Let me tell you what that false reality is called. Present time. It's called what? Present time. It's a false reality. We call it. It's false reality. We were born into this darkness at this present time in a false reality. You know, they did it. You know, people don't understand that the powers of darkness must expose what they're doing. God made it that way. So when they have to expose what they're doing, they do it through, most of the time, through tell the vision. Say it with me. Tell the vision. So before they can do anything, they have to expose it first. That's how God made it. Or he doesn't let it manifest. So in television and what it's on their stations, are they do what? Programming. Hello? So people become programmed. They're what? Watching television. But they must expose these things. The Matrix, they had to expose it. They had to make that movie to expose what's going on. If you haven't seen The Matrix, watch the first one. What does he offer? A red pill and a blue pill. Hello. What's red and blue represent? Blue represents darkness. Red represents light. Blue represents left. Red represents right. Somebody got it. And what did the Lord say? He said, look it. Those who are on my left will end up in where? Out of darkness. Those on my right will enter into the kingdom of light. Everything that you're seeing right now, even though it's a political arena between the left and the right, behind that is a demonic realm that's influencing these people that have sold out their souls to serve Satan. They sacrifice children. They eat blood, drink blood. And they're perverse. They'll do everything that offends God in its utmost. That's how they live. And they must sacrifice individuals too. Listen, those twin towers didn't come down by terrorists. They came down by our own governments that serve Satan. And that opened a dimensional port to the demonic realm. The more bloodshed. Listen, who do you think influences all of these humans? All humans all over the world. What does Satan want to do? He wants them to kill each other. Think about that. So in God's kingdom in heaven, are they killing each other? No, they're loving one another. The only conflict that we have is the powers of darkness that are using humans, human hosts. They're entering them. Why? That's all a demon has to do is get you to agree. You agree. You agree. You accept it. He's in. Well, I thought believers couldn't have a demon. Boy, they want you more than they want anyone else. Don't tell me a believer can't have a demon. We cast them out every week. Satan came to what? He didn't come to bring life and life abundantly, that's for sure. He came to bring what? He came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And then people, until people awaken it. See, this whole thing right now is to awaken people. But God's on the move. I said the other day, I saw the cloud coming, the cloud of glory. It's going to rain big time. And the powers of darkness are shaking in their boots. And you know that the powers of darkness will take you deep into darkness as long as you allow them. Amen? They'll take you so deep into darkness. And you'll become a zombie. Galatians 6:7. Do not be what? Don't be what? Deceived. Don't be deceived. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. His power is fear. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also reap. So nobody's going to get away with it, I'm going to tell you right now. For he sows to his flesh will reap of the flesh corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of the faith. What you sow is what you reap. Amen? You sow in the Spirit, where the word Spirit means breath. When you're sowing in the Spirit, that's why it's so important to sing and to decree the word and so forth. Don't be deceived. Fall into strong deception. Look at, go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 13. And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." In other words, I partook. I agreed. Somebody get it? The serpent deceived me. How? By agreeing what he said. Amen? He partook. She partook. The serpent deceived me. I agreed and partook. Somebody get it? It's not because she ate some kind of fruit, because that's not what happened at all. She got seduced by the dude. Produced two children. And now we had all those Nephilim race offsprings and demons. Presence of evil is sin. The act is called a transgression. And when you do the act, you bring a curse on yourself and your family line. It's called an iniquity. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Are we in perilous times right now? Yeah. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Why? Strong deception. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. And from such people do what? Turn away. They have fallen into strong deception. Addiction is a strong deception. Amen? It produces zombies if you stay, go deep enough into it. You stay in it long enough, you become a zombie. We can see right now all of this. We just talked about red and blue, right? All the blue states have zombies in them now. The red states don't. They might have a few here and there because they're migrating. And what are blue states? Democratic run, right? They're run by demons, individuals possessed with demons. They call those dogs. That's what the word says. A demon-possessed individual is called a dog. They don't know the symbols of satanic rituals. They don't know the symbols of demonic forces. They don't understand accursed items that they bring in their homes, and they wonder why their homes are a mess. Because they're being destroyed for lack of knowledge of eternal truth. Oh, they might have truth, they might have wisdom, but they don't have eternal truth. That's a total different thing. Why? Because you cannot defeat your enemy with accursed items in the home. Pornography, magazines, books, music, liquor, alcohol, all the other stuff. And you're in your home, enemy's got access. You want to live a life that's pleasing to God, separated and sanctified unto Him. We have been rescued to do His purpose, not ours. Amen? We have a call. What is their call? Battle. You have a call to battle, to fight. Your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom, and your destiny is to infiltrate the world system and rescue as many souls as possible. But God ain't going to send you out untrained. There's a lot of people that go out there untrained and end up, I know people who went out to go rescue someone from a crack house and ended up staying there for another week. They didn't come out safely because they didn't know how to bind a strong man. The anointing wasn't in their life. They weren't filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, but they read the Bible. They might know the word, but they weren't connected. You are connected in the Spirit. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that what? The unrighteous, come on, speak it with me, will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, they ain't getting in. The door is shut. Do not be what? Deceived. Neither fornication, nor fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelries, nor extortioners, nor transgenders will inherit the kingdom of God. It ain't going to happen. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Don't be deceived. Revelation 12, verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. You know that war's still going on, right? It's not stopped. It's not going to stop till Jesus comes. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, and they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He does what? He deceives the whole world. Is he still doing it? Yeah, man, he doesn't stop. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So God's building the testimony. And they did not love their lives to death because they denied themselves. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a what? Short time. Yeah. Ephesians 6:10, please. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not our own. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles and the trickery of the devil. Most people don't even know what the full armor of God is. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth. So you got to know truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, in other words, his voice. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, which means praying in tongues. Amen? Being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Galatians 5, please, in verse 16. The word says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lust is an overwhelming desire. L-U-S-T, living under satanic torment. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you desire or wish. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which means drugs, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I've told you beforehand, just as I've also told you in past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You ain't getting in. But I've been a Christian for 30 years. No. Who you serve when you die is where you go. So God is telling us things how to overcome. He's telling us get filled with the Spirit of God, put on the full armor of God. Amen? Be dressed with the full armor. Something vitally important in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. He says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. You know, so many times people forsake, they stop fellowshipping, they stop going to church. And this, you know, the gathering is like a flock of sheep. And the wolf comes to take out a sheep. Amen? So when people refuse to assemble, it can be an open door. Because they're not being filled, they're not being fed, and they're living for themselves instead of for God. Not forsaking to assemble of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, this is powerful, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In other words, if you willfully sin, after you've known the truth, there's no more covering. Does everybody get it? There's no covering. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Who's the sacrifice for sins? Jesus. He's the covering. If we willfully do things to break covenant with God, there's no more covering. The enemy's there to take you out. He'll do everything to try and kill you. Hello. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more worse punishment do you suppose will be he who thought worthy, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace. Wow. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured great struggle with sufferings. Apparently, while you were made a spectacle by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you have compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, in other words, God tells you what to do. Once you've done it and you completed it, he sends you on missions. I'm not talking about overseas missions. He's given you an assignment. When you complete it, he releases a promise. If you don't complete it, he doesn't release the promise. You know, there's a difference between demon management and freedom. The world teaches demon management. That's what 12 steps are for and all the other things. They all go around and say, hey, I'm an addict, this, that, and whatever. And they're managing their demons, but they're not getting free from them. I've seen many people leave and carry their demons with them. Nothing changes. Only the one that can free you is the one who created you. But you must go into his house and let him free you. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 12. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light, because he's a shapeshifter. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose ends will be according to their work. That's where you get all these religions, all of these things. Like, if you seek all these religions out, you'll find out every one of them's had a visitation from an angel of light of somehow. Amen? And these people fall into it. There's only one who rose from the dead. Nobody else. There's only one. There's only one way, truth, and life. Everybody's got all these false promises. But again, the only one that can free you is the one that created you. Amen. He's the only one. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, which means be alert. Be vigilant, which means consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. A roaring lion means he can only attack you through voice. In fact, he only attacks you from your past. He can't attack you from the future, because he has none. So when you begin to walk in the Spirit and you learn how to live from the future to the present, the devil can't get you. But you got to learn these things. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they're not willing to learn. You can't learn this stuff in college. Amen? You learn it by going to the school of the Spirit. Hallelujah. It says, resist them steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody. Everybody. You know, people just are not consistent enough. They're not alert. They're asleep. They're not being connected to the Spirit. They're not able to cross over to the other side. And I'm going to close in Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who may abide in your presence or in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly, who works righteousness, who speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved or stumble. Why? Because you have learned to dwell in the presence of God. When you learn to dwell in the presence of God, can't touch this. Do, 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 do. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you continue to expose all the deep deceptions and rescue those who have been taken captive in the area of becoming zombies, Lord. You're faithful, and you're faithful. That's all you're asking us to do is cooperate. So, Lord, as we cooperate with you, you're the only one that can free us and heal us. So we commit all things to you, and we thank you for your word that doesn't return void, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.